This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, the Fed raises interest rates a half point. We'll talk about that. Mayor Flagstaff Paul Deasy joins me, plus superintendent candidate for Arizona Shiri Sapir returns. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today, Wednesday. Where are we? May 4th. And if you're listening back to the podcast, show number 1370. And appreciate all the podcast listeners. And if you are not subscribed to the podcast, please go to talkwithjeff.com and subscribe or look up the Jeff Horovitz Show on any of your favorite podcast providers. Got a busy program for you. Mayor Paul Deasy is with us. We're going to talk with him in just a second. Plus, in the second hour, we've got candidate for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona, which they desperately need to shorten that. It's way too long. Shiri Sapir returns to the program, and we've got a lot of ground to cover with her. I want to get into, after we talk with Mayor Deasy, we'll also talk about the Fed raising interest rates by half a percentage point and what that means going forward. Biggest hike in two decades, and they say it's to fight inflation, but half point's not going to do it, and we'll get into all those details. And I'll give you the numbers as to what it means for the national debt. Every quarter point that the Fed raises interest rates means $80 billion in additional interest expenses to the national debt. It's a phenomenal number. So get you all the details on that, but I do want to welcome back to the program the Mayor Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. Mayor, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. Busy. You're in campaign mode. Pull that mic a little bit closer there. So everybody can hear you over me. They need to hear you more than me. Busy campaign mode, re-election. There's a primary coming up. I assume there's still the primary. The one Regina Salas was kicked off the ballot for signatures.
Yep. There's still three of us moving forward, so we hit a primary that limits us to two to hit up on the general.
Okay. August 2nd.
Yes.
I think that's when. Didn't they move that forward? It used to be a little later in the month, but there's a problem with the turnover.
30 days. And this helps us concentrate on the general and kind of separate that out.
So. Yeah, because it was always like, hey, the primary happens and then you just have a couple, 2 months to do the general. And it was really, especially when you have some of the primary races going on right now in the state, you've got eight candidates.
Yeah.
So they're going to slaughter each other. And then you got to get back together and try to figure out your general election after that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it doesn't get that nasty in Flagstaff.
Hopefully.
All right. Let's, and folks, if you got any comments, I'd like to get to these throughout the program, and Olivia will be by later as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. All right. Tomorrow, Thursday, May 5th, a slew of fire restrictions go into effect from national forests to cities like Prescott and cities like Flagstaff. What's the fire restrictions that are going into effect tomorrow?
These are the stage one fire restrictions. So basically within the city of Flagstaff and beyond, you won't be able to just have a charcoal grill right on public lands, shooting off fireworks, etc. This doesn't restrict anyone from having their grill in their backyard and doing their thing. But on our public lands, which, City Flagstaff has about 3,000 acres of open spaces, etc., you won't be able to just be having an open flame going on. It's
reasonable.
I think it's pretty reasonable.
Are you getting any blowback on this? Are people like, I'm mad? And tomorrow's Cinco de Mayo, so a lot of people out there, wanting to party and stuff.
Happy to do so right on your own backyard.
Yeah. So, there shouldn't be any blowback. Look, I was, when we closed the National Forest last year, and you were on when we were getting those fires, museum fire.
Yep.
I can't believe that was just not even a year ago, and now we've dealt with
Raphael fire.
Raphael fire. And then now we've dealt with the tunnel fire, and I've never seen it quite this early, and I've never seen the fire explode like we saw tunnel fire just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Is there talk from the National Forest Service? They're doing restrictions starting tomorrow as well in Coconino, Kaibab, Prescott National Forest. I think most of them are going into the stage one fire restrictions as well. Is there talk about escalating that? Are you in communication with them? What's the thoughts going forward? Because I don't see any rain, and it's just getting warmer and windier.
Yeah, well, step by step. We move it up and down accordingly to the weather and the dryness around the you know, the area. So we have to make a weekly assessment on what to do and what restrictions to put in place. But at this point in time, I mean, we're seeing fires earlier and earlier. We actually, in Boulder, Colorado, was burning in December.
Mm.
And, you know, we have to kind of adapt to these new situations and realize maybe we need to start rethinking the baseline on what fire restrictions should be within the city and the greater community.
You've called for some. What are you calling for? What would you like to see?
I'd like stage one fire restrictions year round. So okay. On public lands, again, in our parks and open spaces, that's a different category.
In the city limits you're talking. I mean, that's the only thing you have authority of.
Exactly. I don't have, and that's, you know, an administrative decision too, even within the city. But yeah, this
So the council can't do it. It's not a political decision. It's the fire chief or the city manager says we're doing this, or is it a council deal?
Historically, it's been the fire department.
Okay.
That really puts us in place though. You know, we try to give our suggestions on where we should be, but I think it's really time to start thinking if we should have stage one fire restrictions year round.
Okay.
Within the city of Flagstaff, which doesn't always have stage
one. Does it make sense when we have 2 feet of snow on the ground, or are you just saying for consistency, just make it happen? I mean, because obviously monsoons get cranking, hopefully July 4th-ish. Usually it gets pretty wet. Who knows? Usually we'll get some snow, although this year stunk.
Many years stink. We don't know when those snows are coming.
Yeah.
And when it is 2 feet of snow on the ground, who's wanting to do a barbecue in the middle of the park, any Foxland Park or something like that anyways? So
that's when you should, yeah.
Yeah, so just makes it consistent, and that's not something irregular. I mean, we have a ring around the city of forest land that is always in stage one fire restriction. So it sometimes is, you know, you got to think that, well, why not in the city core as well? If that's the stage one all year round around the city, then why not also look at the most populated area that would have the most damage to homes and potentially lives?
Is there a difference between Forest Service stage one and, like city? Because like I said, the Forest Service is also going into, and I've been recommending for people for weeks because you could do a campfire. I guess technically right now as we speak, you could do a campfire, but I've been like, don't do it. It's not worth it. But is there a difference between, stage one in the National Forest and stage one in the city? Or are they pretty much the same?
They're aligned.
Okay.
And
so it gets confusing
that,
if it's.
Yep. It's just a matter of you can't have open flames on city or on public lands. If you do have, for example, a grill, it needs to be something that can be shut off, like a propane tank, as opposed to an open flame, a charcoal that can't be put immediately out.
Okay.
But I do want to, you know, recognize that when the tunnel fire happened, 70% of our local Flagstaff Fire Department was out there fighting the fire. So we got to think about, okay, within city limits, what happens if there's a fire in the surrounding community? We send out our force, and then within the community, a fire sparks. What happens then?
As far as resources and having available people.
Exactly. Yeah. We're already short staffed, so we need to, you know, make sure that we are protecting the areas that are the highest risk and pose the most, you know, risk to human life and public private property.
And we're talking with the mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. Something that came up that a lot of people questioned, as you know, I don't know if you know or not, but my dad's house, my stepmom's house was right in the tunnel fire area. Fencing burnt, outbuildings burnt. Fortunately, the house did not, but they have neighbors where their houses are gone. You know, 30 homes were burnt, and, you know, just a tragedy there. But a lot of people did go back in when the sheriff had it closed off, and they were putting out fires on their property. Multiple fires were put out by people that went back in despite the evacuation order. Right. So the question came up of, why don't we have more of a, we were calling the bucket brigade. Why don't we have more of a volunteer base to assist with these things? Or do we, for when this happens? Because I hate to say when it happens, because you know it's going to happen again, yep. Unfortunately. Can we gear up and rely on the public some more rather than, because you're saying, hey, we could get stretched in. Imagine if we had a two front situation with fires. Right. Is there any movement to do something like that?
I literally, when this fire hit, I called the fire chief and I was like, hey, you know, I used to actually be going to school for fire science, and once upon a time was wildland fire suppression certified.
Okay.
And I was like, well, do we have a volunteer base? What can I do? How can I help more on the front line rather than just, you know, running communications and answering calls and so forth as the mayor? Because I like to be hands-on, yeah, and be able to help. And when I'm up at midnight anyways worried about the situation, I'd rather be relieving our fire department. But no, there actually is not a volunteer brigade or anything to that effect within the city or and
I don't, you know, even think I'm in National Forest. I mean, I don't see any situations in surrounding areas either.
Right. Well, the thing is, we're a society that likes to file lots of lawsuits. And yeah, it comes down to risk management. It comes down to if somebody is hurt or is, God forbid, killed in the situation. It does fall on those.
Can't we? And that came liability up.
And the fact is, you know, we don't have all the equipment in the world either to be, yeah, able to.
But for after, you know, after it ripped through, though, it just got me thinking, and a lot of folks thinking who did go out there, and it was like, well, let me sign a piece of paper. I you know, and I know we're a litigious society, and everybody sues over. You told me not to go in there, but I went in there, and I fell in a ditch, and then a tree, you know, fell after it was burning, and I died or I got injured, right? And so people sue. But if there's a roadblock, and you say, nope, I'm going to go in, where do I sign? It just seems like, I don't know what the answer is, Mayor. It just seems like we could do something. There's so many people out there that are capable. I can run a chainsaw. I could run a, you know, I could do basic things. You can do basic things. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not the guys that go to the front line. But there seems like we've gotten so far away as a society of utilizing, you know, the folks, the people, mm-hmm, and everybody just says, oh, we got to wait for the authorities to show up. But sometimes they're stretched so thin.
Right. And I mean, I think that needs to be part of the discussion. See what we might be able to do. Obviously, I'm not an expert on it. You're not an expert on it.
No.
And, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily have to be the frontline, situation. And maybe we need to work towards, especially when it comes to the cleanup and helping in that way.
Yeah.
But again, there's a lot of red tape and bureaucracy and legal considerations that others know far more than I do about the situation. Yeah. I
mean, my whole life is talking about the red tape and bureaucracy, you know, yeah, that. What are we doing, Mayor, as far as thinning, and are we, I know the city's tried to make efforts. There's been additional money put into, I think, Four Fry got re-jumped, mm-hmm, up again.
Yep.
But it never seems like we go 5-10 years down the road and it just seems like we're in the same spot and there's more fires and it's just more and more frustrating. I contend that there's just too much land that's in control of just like the feds and the state, and there's so much, and I don't know how we take care of it. How do we take care of it, Mayor?
Well,
what do we do?
We are fortunate to have seen an influx of funding to help us out. For example, actually recently, the Flagstaff Watershed Protection program that was running out of money from the bonding that we did, 2010, something, yeah, to that effect, yeah, where we're helping with, yeah, thinning. Well, we just got another injection of $3.5 million from the feds to help with thinning efforts there. The Forest Service also got us, or the ForeFry, the Forest Restoration Initiative, is another $54 million. And one of the big parts about this is really fixing up the roads and infrastructure to get to areas of the forest that we need to tend to. And then so that way private companies can get back there to thin the forest. So if we set up the infrastructure, if we provide the incentives, we can partner with private companies to also help us thin the forest around the city, and in particular around our watersheds, because the thing is that if the areas around our watersheds get burnt and then we have flooding thereafter, it poisons our water. Yeah. It makes it acidic. It makes it undrinkable. We have to go to additional measures to repurify. And that doesn't just affect Flagstaff. That affects the entire region and when that might happen. So really, that's the huge focus of the local level, to thin those areas first, which they've done a substantial amount of work on. But we continue to need additional funding and resources and support from the federal government and so forth to be able to protect our city and the greater community.
Yeah, and Flagstaff's in a unique position in that they have done some of this funding. The taxpayers have paid for some of this funding to do thinning on national forest land, which leads me to my point that there's too much. They're having trouble keeping up with it.
Exactly.
And I worry about this all the time. All right. We're talking with the mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. I know you got to go soon, but let's come back and talk about, I want to get into housing, mm-hmm. and then let's talk about this upcoming election a little bit as well. So you can stick around for that?
Yep.
All right. Good. Sure. And folks, don't forget to give our great sponsors a call, Desert Gold Exchange. And call Justin and his team and his family. Protect yourself against wealth destruction. I always like owning a little bit of physical gold and silver. And Justin, put him to the test. No pressure quote. Request their free investor's kit as well. Just mention the Jeff Horvitz Show and they'll send that right up. 888-852-4343. You get more physical gold and silver for your money. Call Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. And don't forget to ask them about physical delivery of gold and silver. They can do that in like 72 hours. And also talk to them about their IRAs. All right, we're going to come back with more with Mayor Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. Hang tight, back in a second. All right, welcome back. We'll get back here in just a second with the mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. We also have Sherry Sapir coming up. She's running for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona. And if you've got any comments, love to hear from you. Just Wireless sponsors our phone line and our email. We're looking at email comments today. Thank you for all the calls yesterday on the Just Wireless listener line. We appreciate that. But Olivia will be by in a little bit. She'll go through your email comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow is Ladies Day all day at Timberline Firearms and Training. You know, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but I'm also a strong supporter of getting trained, and Timberline Firearms and Training is the best. And they'll take care of you out there. Give them a call to book training opportunities, whether you're new to firearms or you're somewhere in the middle or you are a seasoned expert. Plus, go on out there and check out their firearms, their ammunition, their Liberty safes. And Rob Wilson was on talking about safes, and after the fire went through, help people protect their possessions and firearms, but also their papers and things like that. So talk to Rob at Timberline about Liberty safes. You can give him a call right now, 928-526-7900, 928-526-7900, or take a quick drive out there. And I should say, this Ladies Day tomorrow is $10 range time and one free gun rental. So take a drive out there or call 928-526-7900. All right, I'm here with the Mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Paul Deasy. Last time we talked, we were talking about housing, mm-hmm. and now there's been a state commission. And so the legislature passed some law, and the governor signed it. I haven't looked too much into it, but basically the sum of it, Paul, was that they're going to have a commission to report back to the legislature with solutions to fix Arizona's housing crisis, which sounds like what you've been dealing with in Flagstaff. Yep. It's weird, though, because it never used to be really on a statewide level, Paul. Right. It was always like, okay, Flagstaff, Sedona, Paradise Valley, you know, mm-hmm. certain areas. It's pretty much everywhere that people are dealing with.
It's exploding across the entire nation.
Yeah.
So we are not alone in this. And honestly, we need higher levels of government to be able to help address the situation one way or another. It can't be just Flagstaff. If we had a silver bullet and was able to flatten the inflation rate in it, then guess what? People would be flocking to us to be able to get housing. So we really do need more partnerships at the state level, federal level, to be able to
do what, though? And you know me, I don't think there's a government solution. I think the government's caused this. And we can, you know, we've got inflation. Yes, the government caused that. They printed too much money. They printed $11 trillion, kept interest rates artificially low, told people to stay home. So, you know, there was less products being produced. So inflation cranks up. I mean, I've gone over this many times. I don't see what the government I'd love to know, what can the government do to fix housing? Because I don't see it, Mayor.
Yeah, well, we're working on lots of things here at the local level. Some of those are really, let's get out of the way here. Mm. So
okay, I like that one.
yeah. Well, for example, you know, you used to have really strong regulations on accessory dwelling units, which is, you know, if you want to build a in-laws quarters or a little tiny house in your backyard, you used to have very strict square footage, permits, etc. We have been loosening up those restrictions. So that way people can more easily build that extra quarters in their backyard, which, you know, is important for me as I look for, you know, what are my parents going to do, my in-laws going to do as they grow older, looking in my backyard, knowing that we're the ones who really in the family are, you know, really going to be the ones probably taking care of them. Yeah. This has more purposes than just, hey, more housing stock, but also helps to create that family and support system.
A practicality.
That right now was so heavily regulated that the square footage requirements, the fees, et cetera, were a little onerous, or, hey, setbacks from the property lines, yeah, and all those
kinds of things. Much you couldn't even do it, especially these smaller lots.
Exactly.
If you have a third of an acre in Flagstaff, that's a lot. These lots are 9,000, 8,000, 5,000 square feet.
Yeah, so we're, you know, before, or, you know, rather than having like 10 feet away from the property line, can you only build? This is, you can build it on your property as you see fit.
Okay. So, and is this in place now? Is this a model that other cities are using as well? Because I get callers from Cottonwood all the time. They're dealing with it in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. Camp Verde prices have gone up a lot. Prescott prices have gone. So are you hearing from your counterparts in other cities, other mayors, same exact thing? And are they using a similar example of, let's do accessory structures and things like that? Is that one of the biggest solutions out there?
Well, actually, Flagstaff is being kind of a leader in this. And not just on the front of these accessory dwellings, but also, for example, with low-income housing tax credit developments, which are developments that are subsidized by the state, the federal government, that you know, you can build for individuals who make a lower income and provide lower rents too. Well, we streamlined that. You used to have to do the conditional use permit process, yeah, as you know.
The yeah. Cup.
Yep. That would have to do the full public process and back and forth, left and right, for a year and a half, 2 years to make happen. Well, we've streamlined that process to make it so that if you are developing a development that's 100% affordable housing, which that definition is, you know, 30% below the current market value, that then you don't have to go through all of these processes and through the red tape. So that's another place that we're cutting red tape to see what we can do at the local level to expand it. But again, we are only one little entity and we only have so much power, and we are going to need the state support to deregulate or give local authorities the ability to address certain situations, and that's what we're working towards.
How much do you think the vacation rentals is factoring in? I don't think, you know, a couple months ago I thought the legislature was going to give more authority back to the cities, but it looks like that's not happening unless you've heard something else. But people say a lot of stock is being sucked up, Sedona especially, yeah, but Flagstaff too, in vacation rentals, and that's being taken off on the long term market.
It absolutely is, and Sedona's getting hit hard.
Yeah, I hear the numbers are huge. It's the percentage wise. Yeah,
but when we're talking, you know, basically we are. The number was about 7,900 units short of what we need to stabilize the market right now in the city. When we're talking, we have 1,500 or so Airbnbs. I mean, look at that the proportion of Airbnbs that are taking up stock that could be for permanent residents. So that's something that I think the city should have some authority over to be able to address. Also, to be able to, honestly, right now we are spending money for a service to track down Airbnbs so we can get their sales taxes. Why don't we have a licensing that we can actually already know who it is? Instead, we're paying a private company
to track it down.
To track down,
because they're supposed to pay it, right?
Yeah, they have to pay the sales tax, like a motel.
Yeah, well, I'm in commercial real estate and Flagstaff too, and you have to pay their sales tax on commercial property. Fortunately, we don't have sales tax on residential rentals long term. We're never going to do that, right? I think that's one of the worst. I know there's many cities in the listening area that have that. I hate that one. But you can't, I mean, the private sector is dictating that this is a big booming market, which is the vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. And it probably does mean a lot of money to communities like Sedona and Flagstaff as far as tourism dollars and people coming in. So isn't there that balance of it's a big economic driver?
Somewhat, but the fact is that we're also seeing large vacancies in our motels and hotels.
I saw a report yesterday. Yeah, huge.
So it's not like they're not going to come here. It's just the location that they're going to.
It's changing.
And that's actually an important factor to realize. It's 2022. We need to be able to adapt to new situations. And that's why I'm glad to see a lot of our nonprofits, through the support of the city and the state, are purchasing motels, hotels, particularly on Route 66, to help provide housing and studio apartments, because there's high vacancies now in the motels, and they're moving into our neighborhoods. But, you know, we have a lot of considerations to make, and the reality is VRBOs are not going away.
Yeah.
I don't want them to go away either. I mean, when I go out of town, I like going to a VRBO. Yeah. I'd rather make my dinner myself and grill on
not have 100 neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, be respectful about it as a neighbor that's in a VRBO. But
you stop partying at like 2 a.m. I mean, you're fair.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, folks.
I get it back at the VRBO. We'll put out the music at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Have the little kids outside dancing around while we garden to get them back for the night.
I did that once. I was camping and they were partying to like 2 a.m. And at 6 a.m. we took a ride and I'd like beep the horn and drove around. Yeah. I was like, yeah, get, and they were not happy. Yeah. It's like, there you go. We're all good now. You feel bad too.
Yep.
Okay. So I do really like the idea about the accessory dwelling buildings. I think that's a positive way to go. I mentioned Red Gap and all that land out there. I'm going to keep planting that seed because there's a tremendous amount of land out there that the city could perhaps use. Let's move on real quick, because I know you got to go. You got parenting things to do.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you get to that. The election is happening though, and it's gotten pretty nasty. There was, for some reason, everybody wants to run for mayor, and there was four people running for Flagstaff mayor, and then there was only two people running for Flagstaff City Council that got enough signatures for three positions, which is a problem.
It is.
You just did an appointment of Kara House. Last night was appointed to the Flagstaff City Council out of 14 applicants.
Right.
And she's going to fill out the term till December to the new council is seated, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. But you had one person that got kicked off or dropped off the ballot, Regina Salas, who's currently on the council with you.
Right.
She didn't have enough signatures. Someone challenged it. Someone also challenged Pastor Daniel Williamson, who's on the ballot. And then she kind of pulled back, though. She's been involved with Democrat Party politics for a long time. And quite honestly, she said some really negative things about just lumping Republicans together. And Daniel's Williamson is a Republican. So she's just like, I just want to get him off just because he's a Republican. So she withdrew that, though. That's how I read it in the Daily Sun. That the values don't match up, so we got to get them off, you know. I don't like that. That really turns off a lot of voters, because, look, I've voted for some Democrats before. You know, I try to look at the candidates. I don't vote for a lot, I'll be honest with you, but I try to look at the candidates as an individual.
Right. Yep, and especially for city politics, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's supposed to be nonpartisan.
It is in our city charter that it is nonpartisan. Moreover, it's, okay, please point to the Republican or Democrat platform that says how we're supposed to decide on zoning codes and water rights and waste management, and if we're going to start doing composting or like all of those things, they do not fit within that that framework. Right. I mean,
of the pillars, the 6 points of whatever they come up with.
Yeah, it doesn't fit with it. It doesn't fit with the platform. So when that's the case, it really should be a matter of the individual. And you know what? The public itself voted for that city charter that makes it nonpartisan. And I think that needs to be respected.
Hopefully it will be. But I mean, it was pretty nasty, some of the stuff that was said. And now it's down to three, which is fine. Williamson got past that challenge, so there'll be three of you. I've offered a debate here on the program. I believe you said yes. Williamson said yes. The other candidate is she resigned from the council. That's why you appointed Kara House. That's Becky Daggett, who is running for it as well. I've sent some invites. She's welcome to come on the program. We'll set something up though and get debate of whoever wants to come on and do it. And we'll get that going. Okay, biggest thing you want to get done though coming up if you get reelected, Paul, before we let you out of here.
Yeah, let's be honest, we have some serious existential threats to this community. Wildfires, we have flooding issues. We've made a huge amount of progress thus far, even in the last 6 months, to be able to mitigate these real threats to our community. And that is one of the biggest things for me is building that momentum. So we've secured actually between five different government agencies, $14 million for just the museum fire flood scar.
Flood mitigation?
Yeah, flood mitigation. Okay. And actually the city's portion, which is in Sunnyside neighborhood, so the Kellop Elementary detention base.
Yeah, I saw that hole.
Yeah,
and I hope it doesn't fill up too quick.
It can hold five Olympic sized swimming pools with water, and it'll be able to soak into our inlet in 36 hours. Anyways, we have made things move very, very quickly, cut through red tape to make sure that we can support and protect our people. I mean, when we're talking getting funding in October, engineering designs, you know, working with APS and Unisource to move their pipelines and utilities, and then we can actually break ground and actually have this done before next monsoon season, this monsoon season, that is a large effort, and we've cut through red tape, and that's one of the biggest things for me is trying to, protect cities. When we talk about housing, we talk about a lot of social issues. Well, that doesn't, that's important issues, but when houses are being flooded and filled with black molds, and
that is the issue.
And our lowest income neighborhood is the one getting most affected by flooding. Well, guess what? Let's get down to basics and deal with the basic infrastructure that the city should be providing. And the fact is that we are showing results on that, and I want to keep up the momentum.
All right, Mayor Deasy, we look forward to getting you back on, and we look forward to a forum or debate coming up as well. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, folks, and I'd love to hear from you. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. We'll have Olivia on in a little bit to read some of those. And also we have superintendent candidates, Sherry Sapir, coming up. And don't forget to give my friends Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona a call. I told you about Rob Wilson and his gutters catching on fire. So talk to Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, about their reverse curve that deflects all the pine needles so that stuff doesn't build up on in there, and plus ice damming in the winter. Don't wait though. If you call right now, mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you can save up to 30%. Just mention the show, call or text 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555, or you can go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. Hang tight, back in a few. All right, welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Olivia's with me.
Oh, I'm exhausted, but I'm here.
Legs are tired, huh?
Just a little bit. I only biked 26 miles today.
26 miles. What was that? So school fundraiser.
Yeah, school bike-a-thon. If anyone's wondering, I made absolutely $0.00 because I had
sponsors, you didn't get any sponsors. So what we did was we sponsored the shirt along with other, folks at the school and businesses and stuff. But, yeah, you could have utilized the show to have a huge sponsorship base and funded the school for the year.
We already paid.
Yeah. Oh, well, so you typed 26?
26 miles. It was like 51 laps, plus I counted we had to bike there and back.
Oh, man. All right, good stuff. And I saw it in the beginning of the day, and there was like hundreds of kids biking. I was picturing like this, Tour de France wreck. Yeah, I mean, these kids were everywhere. I thought they were going to, did they crash?
I mean, I didn't see anyone in my group crash. I think some of the younger kids did. But, I mean, by the time, I was one of the last, like, 10, 15 there because it was, like, 2 hours, kind of.
Yeah.
And so a lot of kids, they went really fast in the beginning, got a lot, and then dropped out.
Fun stuff. All right. We are going to talk a little bit about the Fed raising the interest rates here. But before we get to that in just a second, we kind of have a last minute giveaway that was just we just found out about here just a few minutes ago, and I think you're going to like this one. Olivia will give you the details in just a second, and plus we got Shiri Sapir coming up next hour, running for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona. Got a lot of ground to cover with her regarding education and other issues as well. By the way, speaking of interest rates, speaking of inflation, speaking of the market going up like 900 points today and down, 800 the other day and back and forth and zigzagging all around, I am going to have Glenn Least from WT Wealth Management on the program tomorrow. We've got a ton of ground to cover with him regarding the economy and the markets and interest rates and how that's impacting everything. I want you to give Glenn a call right now. That's what I did. I'm a customer of Glenn's myself. My family is, and I did the same thing. I gave Glenn a call for a complimentary consultation. He'll talk with you, look at your, individual situation. And he's real easy to talk with, as you know, from hearing him many times here on the program. Call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. There's no obligation. And Glenn will talk to you about your investments, about different things like lithium battery storage, autonomous driving, different stocks, different things. You'll get to know him, and he'll get to know what you're looking for as far as investments and see if it's a right fit. Give Glenn a call, 928-225-2474. Before I get to Fed raising the interest rates, so what's the giveaway? Give us the details. It's last minute here, so...
Yeah, only today. End of the show. Just get it in as soon as you hear this. Okay. Friends of the NRA event banquet. It's in Flagstaff at the Flagstaff Elks Lodge. This Saturday, May 7th, 4:30 p.m. And only enter if you can actually make it.
Yeah, please.
So this Saturday, 4:30. It's two tickets to one winner valued at $200, that whole thing, which is a lot, even with inflation. So this time you're going to email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Leave a comment that's not, I want to win, or something like a real comment, a real question, a real thought, something like that.
Yeah, not like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
No, like, we like to read these, so I don't know if we'll get to them today, but we'll announce the winner tomorrow and then read them as well. But make sure you can go to this thing in Flagstaff. Mm-hmm.
And in your with your comment, include your name and your phone number. So it's Friends of the NRA Banquet Flagstaff this Saturday, 4:30 p.m.
Okay, good. And I heard from a lot of people that went to the Cottonwood Friends of the NRA event last month, and we gave away two tickets for that. They liked it. So, yeah, two tickets. Email right now, talkwithjeff@icloud.com.
You only have till the end of the show.
Yes, talkwithjeff@icloud.com, and get that in if you can go, and if you want to go, and we'll draw that. Okay, so the Federal Reserve raised interest rates today. No big surprise here. We knew this was going to happen, baked into the cake. They raised it a half a point. But what's interesting about this is the biggest hike in two decades. Feels like deja vu today, doesn't it, a little bit? Biggest hike in two decades, because we're kind of living through what happened in the late 70s and the 80s. They're saying they raised it that much to fight inflation.
Caused the inflation?
Yeah, who caused the inflation? Yeah, this is the Fed that said we had transitory inflation. This is the Fed and the government that's pumped $11 trillion into the economy. This is the government that told people to stay home. Don't worry, stay home. You don't need to go to work.
Covered.
We got you back, man. We got $11 trillion. We're going to send you stimmy checks and just stay home and order stuff.
Because that at work, you big brain.
Yeah, we had a Governor Ducey at one point said, yeah, just stay home and stream Netflix. I remember that. People forget this stuff because it seems like it was so long ago. But yeah, so people are encouraged to stay home, pick up streaming services. That's why the streaming services are tanking now, because people have re-entered society, you know, and they realize they don't need 15 streaming services, and Netflix took a dive. But anyway, stay home and don't produce anything and consume. Don't produce anything and consume, and we'll send you the money to spend.
Because that's how the world works.
Yeah, that's how the world works. So inflation went up, of course. So do you believe the people that caused the problem? I certainly don't. And a half point is not going to change inflation. You would have to do what Paul Volcker did last time we had this kind of inflation. And I think we're at higher inflation rates now if you do it by the old way than we even were in the 70s and 80s. And we're not as healthy as an economy that we used to be. We certainly don't have the savings. We have much more debt. But anyway, you'd have to raise it a bunch, eight points, probably 10 points, which would just absolutely destroy the economy. We got a stray dog running by the studio here. It'd absolutely destroy the economy if they did that. They're in a heck of a position now. Anyway, they raised it up. What's it mean, though? You're talking U.S. Treasuries are now at 3 percentage points for like a 10-year Treasury bond, about 3%, versus a year ago they were at 1.17%. So that's how much it's gone up. What's it mean to the national debt? We went to the debtclock.org website, which, Olivia, look at that thing spinning around.
It's spinning like all spinning. You see are numbers going up. Everything's going
everything's
up.
Everything's going up. Nothing's going down except for maybe our
except
trade.
For the quality of the country.
Yeah, and the trade that we're sending to other countries. We're doing less and less. $30.5 trillion in debt. So what's this mean to our debt? For every quarter point that the feds raise the interest rate, it means another $80 billion in additional interest payments on top of what is already our fourth largest expense as a nation and the federal budget. Current interest on the debt is $432 billion a year. So add another $80 billion per quarter point, but they just raised it a half point today. So that means the debt payments, the interest payments, go up by $160 billion. If you add last month's quarter point rate increase, that means debt interest payments on the debt went up. They're going to be up about $240 billion, about $250 billion just for interest. Imagine if they actually had to raise it like Paul Volcker did, where he raised it like 10 percentage points. The country, there's no way we could afford that now. There's no way we could weather that. They've got us in an impossible...
We can't afford what we've got.
Yeah, we can't afford all the it's government like, just, we got.
How did we get to this position? How stupid do you have to?
I know it's you look at these numbers and it's like an unsolvable problem at this point. Just looking at the math,
and then it's almost like, how is it even possible
that we got to
have gone from a point that was once zero debt to this? How?
Yeah, it just keep increasing it. And now, and by the way, the Dow did go up 900 points on news because they say, I love these headlines, the Fed is, you know, they're going to slow inflation without causing a recession. That's the latest line that's going on right now.
Just like you fix everything else.
All right, love your thoughts, folks. Go ahead and send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com, especially if you want those two tickets to the Friends of the NRA Flagstaff dinner that's coming up. Saturday,
May 7th, 4:30 p.m.
Okay, say that one more time because we want people to get in on this.
So it's in Flagstaff, a Friends of the NRA banquet at Flagstaff Elks Lodge this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Two tickets to one winner, valued at $200.
$200.
Super fun there. Email us at talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Leave a comment. Your name and your phone number.
Yep, do it now. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Stick around. Coming up, we have candidate for superintendent of public instruction, Shiri Sapir, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, so don't go anywhere. And email us, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a couple minutes.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, another hour of the show. Let's get caught up on some education issues with candidate for superintendent for public instruction, Shiri Sapir. Another hour of the show starts now. All All right, welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. Don't forget, if you're listening at the end of last hour, Olivia announced, and we're going to try to get her back in here on the last segment to get some of your email comments. But we had this last-minute giveaway for this Saturday. Let me find it here. Hang on. This Saturday in Flagstaff, the Friends of the NRA event banquet, Saturday, May 7th at 4:30 p.m. at the Flagstaff Elks Lodge. And we've got two tickets. They're valued at $200. We'll give two tickets to one winner. Normally, we have you go through the website, but it's so quick here that we want to get these in by the end of the show. So email talkwithjeff@icloud.com if you want two tickets. And then we'll randomly pick a winner, announce it tomorrow on the show. Only enter if you can go, though. I hate if we give away something and you can't make it. So two tickets to the Flagstaff Friends of the NRA event banquet coming up this Saturday, May 7th. Email your name, your number, and we like a comment because we like to share your comments. Not a lot like, hey, what's up, dude? But actually something, a comment, a question, a thought. We'd love to hear from you. TalkwithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkwithJeff@iCloud.com. Thank you to Mayor Paul Deasy of Flagstaff last hour. That'll be podcast at 5:40 at talkwithjeff.com. If you missed that, we covered a lot of ground, especially when it comes to fire issues and forest issues and housing issues. But now we're going to switch gears here and talk education issues. And welcome back to the show, candidate for superintendent of public instruction of Arizona, Sherry Sapir. Welcome back. How you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
We're getting close. We've been talking about this. You've been in this race a while, and we've been talking about this election, and now it's just like you can see it. You know, it's August 2nd. It's coming up fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less than 90 days. It's crazy. Yeah. Seems like forever. Yeah. There's so much education conversation everywhere you go, pretty much. It's been intense. So that's definitely the issue of the day.
Yeah. Well, last week we spoke, Sherry, the Flagstaff Unified School District was one of the last in the state that still had the mask mandate going on. And it was about a month ago they finally got rid of this dang thing. Not very long ago. They were one of the last ones in the state. And I drive by some of those schools and I see the kids and pretty much everybody, they took it off really quickly. And I'm like, what was the problem here? And remember, they were protesting this thing. They wanted to keep them on forever. And to me, Sherry, there's no accountability because obviously it was okay to take them off a long time ago, and they just kept this thing going. But we move on as a community, as a society, so quick and forget all the crap that happened.
Exactly, and that's the problem. We should not forget what they've done to our children. And you know, I'm sure they decided to do it after the bill finally passed and got signed by Governor Ducey to not allow for mask mandates any longer. So they're not going to be able to so quickly bring this back, although I'm sure they would want to. But what's amazing is they probably never even gave any metric or any scientific reason as to why they're taking it off right now, right? So it's just an arbitrary decision, like the arbitrary decision to ever put them on for 2 years. And that's what's frustrating about these people. There is no rhyme or reason for any of what they do. It's just all politics, and it's a disaster.
Yeah, they claim hashtag science, right? But then you try to bring facts to them, and they move on quickly to the next thing. I mean, I even brought to them the data of other schools and, you know, that didn't have the masks, and they just ignored me, and there's never any follow-up on any of the stuff. But here we are. I don't think it's going to happen again because, as you mentioned, talk about that law real quick that went into effect, and I think we're going to have on, I think it was a bill that was created by Representative Joseph Chaplick. I think he's actually coming on the program next week. But real quick, yes. What are the safeguards going forward, at least for our kids?
Well, thankfully, it's telling that no government institution can dictate those masks without a consent of a parent for minors. And that has been the battle this whole time, right? According to the Parents' Bill of Rights in Arizona, parents have the right to make medical decisions on behalf of a minor child. That statute was just violated nonstop by all of these school boards that dictated the mask all this time. And they never really had any ground other than they did it. So I'm really thankful for Representative Chaplick to be strong about this, knowing that we can't trust them any longer, and we have to make sure we have stronger laws. And for some reason, it's so funny, you know, all the bills that really have gone through this session regarding accountability or parents' rights, they're all things, you know, they're all issues that we already have on the books, but for some reason, we have to reiterate everything over and over again, you know, pleading and begging for what is already ours. It's already in statute. So it's just the way it goes. So it's better to happen than not.
It is. It's good. And folks, talking with Sherry Sapir, who's running for superintendent of public instruction. What I feel like, though, is as conservatives or Republicans or libertarians, you kind of, we're always like, okay, this is the way it is. And then we fight and we fight, but we don't have the massive flip outs like you see on the left where they're crying because something's changing. And I mean, we saw this just the other day with the SCOTUS issue and Roe v. Wade, how everybody's just flipping out over this. But we deal with this as conservatives, I guess what I'm trying to say. This is like constant life for us of not getting our way, Sherry.
I know. We're constantly on the defense. Yeah. And that's something that we have to change. We let them dictate the conversation, the public conversation on every level, right? It was the mask, it was the vaccines, it was the shutdowns of the schools, what is being taught, politics, yes or no in the classroom, critical race theory. It seems that they dictate the transgenderism that is, you know, one of my biggest issues. And, you know, we started talking months ago. I really ran because I started running because I did not like the shutdowns. I did not like the mandates. I definitely didn't like the fact that most kids cannot read in Arizona. 60% cannot read at grade level. But it has shifted and my campaign has evolved, as I call it right now, to a child rescue mission. Because our children are subject to so many bad decisions. And, you know, it's one thing if you're coming after us as adults, but you're coming after our children and you're dictating the conversation, the narrative, the policy without us ever having any input into it. And these are our children, not to mention it's our money that you're using. So we really need, as Republicans, and you know what? It's not even a Republican thing anymore. As you said, it's libertarians, it's even soft Democrats and independents who maybe finally realize, you know what? It's time that our opinion matters. It's time that our voice matters. And we can't just let people who dictate, you know, the opposition of representing someone, it's dictating to them. And that's dictatorship when you're not representing the people and their will.
Yeah.
There was no confusion as to what we parents wanted. We fought. We went to school board meetings. We've, you know, posted about it. We fought against all these things, yet nobody represented us. So we need to have better representation. And regardless of your party affiliation, I encourage everyone, and I know Flagstaff is not a strong Republican stronghold, but do you want your sovereignty over your own body, over your own family, over your own children's thoughts and mind? You need to have people that understand that. You may not agree on every level. You may want, you know, you may be pro-choice when it comes to life, or you may be against guns. But when it comes to education, I really do believe we all should solidify behind the idea that the children are ours, not the state, not the government, and we are going to be the final decision makers when it comes to them.
Well, sure. You hit on something about the children being ours because you just recently heard Biden saying, and you know, they truly think the kids are theirs. They're in the school, they're our kids. And they're not. They're my kids. They're your kids, Sherry. There's the listener kids. There's, you know, folks listening in Prescott, Sedona, Cottonwood, Camp Verde, Flagstaff, Tuba City. It's not the government's kids. They're our kids.
Right. You would think that people would wake up to that. But maybe I think people do wake up to this right now. And that's why I'm feeling that this may become a more bipartisan consensus as to the idea that our children are ours and we're going to make the decisions, because they're very clear about it. I mean, you hear cases all around the nation right now with parents having to sue because their children transitioned and had hormone blockers given to them and actually had transitioning surgeries unbeknownst to the parents. Can you imagine if your minor child went through a transition without you knowing? And all along, the school boards and the administrators knew about this, but you didn't. I mean, it's unfathomable to me, and it's happening.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what's going on. Real quick, to loop back to a couple things you said, we talked about the bill on the masks that bans masks, forcing of masks in schools. You have to have parental authority to do that. A school does. I've talked about and have had on Representative Jake Hoffman, who passed and got signed by the governor, the bill that prohibits schools from government agencies from forcing the COVID-19 vaccination. So now those protections restrictions are in place. What have you heard, though, Sherry, from the legislature, who I think they're now in budget mode? I really need to get an update from someone this week. But did critical race theory bans go anywhere this year? What happened there?
So we're waiting. I testified in the Senate committee. We're trying to get critical race theory resolution, so try to have it on the ballot. And we're still waiting on final votes on that. So that would be great if we can get it on the ballot for the people of Arizona to be able to have their say about this. That's resolution 2001, I believe, 2002, Senate resolution. And so that would be great if we can get that done. We do have quite a few good bills that went into effect with accountability with library books. Representative Hoffman has another bill about sexualization of our kids and what kind of information can come in front of the kids. And his bill is unbelievable, 2495. It actually had the detail. You cannot bring bestiality and masturbation and intercourse. I mean, it's shocking that we even have to spell out these
dictate
things,
common sense. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would think that you'd kind of know that you shouldn't be bringing. And, you know, we had a situation in Paradise Valley. I spoke about it at the legislature, too, and we actually had the principal fired in Paradise Valley because they had a book about bestiality given to children for AP English class at Horizon High School.
Unbelievable.
And I read from that book in front of the committee, and I said, is this okay with you? Because it's not okay with me that minors need to be reading about it. Somebody who's in love with his dog and going around to collect semen and inject it to have babies with his dog. So this is the kind of thing that are just, is there really no better literature in the country? Really? No, they're not doing this. It's not a mistake.
And what you're doing by reading it to them, we've seen this, Sherry, where people get up in front of these school boards and read the books, and then they get their mic shut off because they're saying, no, we got kids listening. And then people are like, yeah, that's the point.
Right.
You know, it's like, and then maybe the light bulb goes off, but I think more or less people get caught and then they change their tune and like, oh, I didn't know or something like that. So that's okay. That's Representative Hoffman's bill. That's still making its way through the process, though, or did that make it?
No, we're still waiting on final votes. Just through all the committees.
You think this would pass? You think that'd be pretty easy? And then you got the curriculum online bill that passed, where you have to actually post the stuff online so parents can go check that, right?
Yes, but there was another one that was going to have all the curriculum not more than 3 clicks away from, you know, when you get on the school board on the district's website, and that wasn't even heard in the education committee. That was Representative Martinez's bill, and she's still upset about it, and we all are upset about it because that should have been heard. Why would you object to us being able, instead of having to dig deep into finding these things, it should be 3 clicks away, or not more than that.
They want it like 20. They want it like 20 clicks, Sherry. You know.
Yes, they want to hide this thing.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on? And I have an email from a listener in Camp Verde about the Leah Thompson fiasco. This was the high schooler born a male, transitioned to a female, you know, competed in all these women's sports and broke all these records. You know the story here. And this listener, John in Camp Verde, very frustrated by all of this. Did we get something to protect women's high school and school sports here in Arizona? Talk about that.
Yes, Governor Ducey did sign a bill that does not allow male in female sports or vice versa. You have to be the gender that you were born in. So that was a very big win as well. That was a couple of 3 weeks ago. So he signed that into law, so you cannot do any of that anymore. You have to be with a team of your own gender.
Imagine that.
So that was a good thing. Yeah.
you believe we even have to use airtime and brain power to talk about this stuff, Sherry. I mean, did you ever think we'd have this world? I mean...
No. It's a bizarre world, like Seinfeld says. It is odd. And the conversation. Yeah. Another bill that he signed was to not allow transitioning surgeries in minors. Do we really need to spell out that you can utilize a minor? I mean, do we really need to talk about this in America in 2022? Governor Ducey signed that bill, thank God, so they cannot do that anymore. But the fact that, as you said, the fact that we even have this, but that's what we're talking about. They're dictating the conversation, and we now need to dictate the conversation that is going to center around academics, vocational studies, getting a paycheck when it's all over, capitalism, the love of America. We need to dictate the conversation. That's our job right now. Now that we're awake, before you can say we didn't know. Now we know.
We know.
We have to take action.
And if you don't know, I don't know what you're doing. And if you're not watching what your kids are learning. I mean, I'm guilty, Sherry. And folks talking about Sherry Sapir is running for superintendent for Arizona. I mean, for years, we just, like most parents, we're like, of course they're going to teach our kids the good stuff and teach them math and teach them the good history. And I mean, there was very few of us that question it, but more and more of us have, and we all wake up, I hope, or a lot of us have woken up over time. The fact that, and you mentioned this, that what was it, 60% of the kids can't read at their grade level, and like 40 something, yeah, is a huge number in math. And yet they have the time to teach them all this other stuff. It's mind blowing.
So you don't have, exactly. And you don't have, not to mention the 2 years of COVID, no child, as far as I'm concerned, no child should have gone to the next grade level this past year. None of them. They should have all been held back, get, you know, proficient at what they were supposed to learn the grade before they're moving forward. But yeah, there's no interest on the administrators and the educators' part to really educate our kids.
Sure. Why would there be? They'd be admitting that the shutdowns and keeping them home in front of their computer for virtual education actually failed, when we know it was an epic fail.
It was an epic fail. And that's why now even the California Department of Health, now they're changing the metrics as to what a child, you know, the milestone for a baby. So if you were supposed to have 50 words by the time you're, I don't know, 18 months, now it's when you're 24 months, right? Because they're trying to catch up. They know the failing is going to be uncovered here pretty soon. So now they're changing the metrics to confuse us, as if, no, a child a year ago should have known 50 words by 18 months. That should stay the same. You should have done a better job at allowing for this. But when children had masks on their face and all the adults around them, there was massive regression and inability to develop. I mean, you don't have to be a professor to understand that. To look at a child with a mask, he's looking at you with a mask, how verbal is it going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, that's, government does that often. They'll change the way they measure things, just like they did with inflation. We have much higher inflation than another topic there, but just change the way you measure it, and you can change the outcomes or change the perception of, at least, not the outcomes.
Exactly.
All right, yes. Sherry, keep it up, and I appreciate you spending the time. Hang in there. You've got, what'd you say, 3 months? Yeah, it's May 4th today. August 2nd's the election.
August 2nd.
Coming up fast. So we'll look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible to talk as the legislature finishes up. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Absolutely. And when we come back, we'll have Olivia will rejoin us. We'll go over some of your email comments. And don't forget, you got to get this in now. We've got this giveaway for the 2 tickets to the Flagstaff Friends of the NRA for this Saturday at 4:30. We're going to pick one winner for the pair of tickets, $200 value. Email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Also, it is Wednesday. Last I checked, that means that it is Wing Wednesday up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff up at a hospital in the Bashes Shopping Center. They have awesome wings, folks. And these are, you know how hard these are to get. My wife tried buying chicken the other day for, we have like Asian chicken salad or something. And she went to the store and, you know, she'll bread the chicken and make it herself. But sometimes, you know, it is what it is. You got to, time's tight. So she gets the breaded one, the package that's kind of made and you cook it. Chicken's raw, but the breading's on there. Anyway, they didn't have any. I mean, chicken's getting hard to get. It's crazy when you go to the store. But so what I'm saying is, if you can get half price wings that are as good as they are at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, you better take advantage of that today. Plus, of course, they have all the great drink specials and all the TVs for your sports action. So check out Sportsman's Bar and Grill, and don't forget to tell them that I sent you. All right, coming back, some of your comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Get those in. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. If you stretch out, move around a little, you'll get less sore.
I have been moving plenty, thank you.
26 miles Olivia drove on her bike.
Drove?
I'm a real bike guy, huh? Mark Howitt does that all the time. He does that like before breakfast.
Yeah, I'm just going to go on my 30-mile ride real quick. Yeah. Be back in a minute.
That's good. That's good. Good exercise. Kids need exercise. Everyone needs exercise. We've got some comments we want to get to here in just a second, so stick around for that. I do want to mention our great sponsor, and that's Sun State Tech. And, you know, we all love living in Northern Arizona, but as you know, we compete in a global economy, and you need resources. You need someone in your corner who can make sure that you're protected when it comes to cybersecurity, that can handle managed IT services, voice over IP, and more. And that's sunstatetech.com. Now, since 2007, Sun State Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely. Go to sunstatetech.com right now, and you can take their free is good, no obligation technology risk assessment. Let the experts at sunstatetech.com keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Visit sunstatetech.com right now. I see a bunch of emails are coming in for our giveaway.
Yeah, I'm grabbing those.
Yeah, and people are leaving some good comments. We've got, remind the folks what this giveaway is because it's ending here in a few minutes.
Okay, so it's in Flagstaff. It's Friends of the NRA Banquet. It's this Saturday, May 7th at 4:30 p.m., Flagstaff Elks Lodge. It's two tickets to one winner, and these tickets are valued at $200. Yes, you only have today till the end of the show to get it in, and we'll draw it tomorrow.
Yeah, $200. That's good, even with today's inflation. You know, someday it'll be like, oh, I went to that $2,000 dinner. Oh, that's a good price. You know,
yeah. I brought my whole family out to eat. It was only $10,000.
It was only $10,583. They changed the menu prices while I was sitting there. No, that'll never happen, right? Because the Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.5 point today. And they said, we don't know if we'll have to do another 0.75 point hike because I think we're going to get inflation under control. I believe that, just like I believe in transitory inflation. Friends of the NRA, Flagstaff, if you want to go, email talk with Jeff.
At iCloud.com. Well, you stopped. I thought you wanted me to finish it or something. Yeah. Leave a comment. I've already told you. Just give some kind of a good comment.
Yeah, give us a couple comments here.
Your name and your number.
Yeah.
Your phone number.
Yeah, you're moving
talk
a whole,
with
you're moving
Jeff
a whole
at iCloud.com. I am not. I scooted forward 1 inch in my chair.
Give me a couple comments. Or questions. What do we got? We got something from, we heard from Mayor Paul Deasy earlier in the program last hour. That will be podcast if you missed it. We talked a lot about fire issues, fire health, forest health, housing issues. What do you got?
So this is from Dave.
I want to do the Mayor Deasy one from B.
Oh, wait, I had the wrong one.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay. We were talking about this is not for the banquet then.
No.
Okay. Here's a novel idea for the mayor. How about spending tax dollars on the necessary fire and police capabilities? Then if there is extra money, we can talk about the free housing and other dreams he and the council have.
B from Flagstaff. B, you know that we money is free. It grows on trees and we always just do more. So it's just, there's an unlimited supply of money, according to a lot of people. So, no, I agree with you. We should, and I don't know. I'll have to get Mayor Deasy back on. He probably agrees with more for police and fire capabilities when it comes to our forest health, but they also have the dreams of the, housing, you know, the housing for everybody, housing as a right. So you got to provide housing. The government has to provide housing. They want to get rid of a lot of people. A lot of these politicians want to get rid of the student loan debt, which is just a wealth transfer because somebody's got to pay for it. So you get rid of your student loan debt, for example. I got to pay for it. What?
Are you telling me that you don't go and pick money from the trees every weekend in the Valley of the Money Trees?
This is eye-opening experience.
I thought everybody did that.
Yeah, that's what the politicians think. They're like, ooh, just there's like a beam of light coming down, and they go to the tree.
The Valley of the Money of
the tree money. Orchard. Money it's like a tree orchard, and they go and pick it, and it's just like, ooh, free money. It's like that, you know, sometimes they have at the malls, or they used to do this where they have the wind tunnel of money. And you go in there and you just grab the dollars as it's floating around. There you go. I don't know what to say. When we look at the national debt, we looked at it a little while ago, $30.5 trillion. And the fourth biggest expense of the federal government is now is interest on the national debt. And with today's interest rate increases of 0.5 point, that national debt interest payment just went up $160 billion with a B $1,000 per year. All right, some more comments.
All right, now we'll get to Dave. I was confused last time. I really wasn't.
I changed the order. I shuffled the order.
I wasn't listening to you, to be honest.
Yeah,
so I was.
Maybe other people aren't either. It's the end of the show.
Okay, this is from Dave. It may just be me, but I have not seen a single picture of Biden in the Oval Office. Do you go in the Oval Office often?
Yeah, have you been? Yeah, I don't know. Dave, thanks for you are entered in for the Friends of the NRA Flagstaff dinner coming up this Saturday at 4:30, and you can email still. You have time. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Who's next?
Steve says, hey there, recently started listening and heard your promo for this Saturday. I would be interested in going. I think your show is pretty cool so far. We'll try not to mess that up.
Yeah, we'll try not to. Don't listen too long, I guess. No, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. As I forget his name, and he's like, yeah, now I really don't like you. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Actually, tomorrow, by the way, I want to give a shout out for tomorrow's show. We've got Glenn Least to give us a market update. We've also got candidate for U.S. Senate for the Republican nomination, Jim Lehman, who, according to the recent poll, has taken kind of that front runner position. We'll see if that holds. So Jim Lehman will give us an update on tomorrow's program. What else you got, Olivia?
Okay. Jeff and Olivia, thanks. And thanks for including me, because some people don't, and I will hunt them down.
Don't threaten the listeners.
Not literally.
Jeez. What would you, she's just speaking? figuratively? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for all you do to keep Flagstaff informed on local issues as well as national bloopers. I listen on my way home from work daily. I'd love to be able to take my husband to the NRA event Saturday evening. He'd love it. Also, Olivia makes me smile with her insight and comments. I taught middle school for lots of years, and she's the type of student that livens up your class. Fun kid. Thanks again, Mary. Thank you.
I know. I was wondering why you skipped ahead a bunch of emails. Why you
don't
picked
worry?
That one.
I won't hunt you down.
No, don't worry, Mary. Thanks. We've got you entered for the Friends of our NRA Flagstaff dinner coming up this weekend. We got 3 minutes. You want to do another one?
Yeah, sure. This is from Tom. Hello, Olivia and Jeff. Don't worry, I won't hunt you down either. I would like to attend the NRA dinner in Flagstaff on Saturday. Not a fan of Wayne or his enablers, but the NRA is the members. The lack of leadership has damaged the group's credibility.
Yeah, we were just talking with Sherry Sapir about reading, so she's running for superintendent of public instruction. So you read that pretty good, though.
It looks like credibly from
credibly.
Here.
Credibly. Maybe.
It's small font.
Maybe Tom
anyways.
Did it wrong. Tom, you're entered in. I appreciate that. And we'll draw that here on tomorrow's program. So pair of tickets. You got any more? You want to do any more? Or should we update a couple other items?
Oh, we just have one more. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I'd like to go on Saturday night. Thanks. Wait, who was that? Sorry, I can't read.
Lost it.
Scout.
Scott? Scout. Scout or Scott? So it does say Scout. Yeah. Okay. Scout. We'll go with that. I appreciate all those. And we've got, there's more coming in. So keep those coming. I think we better cut it off though. You still have a couple minutes, so keep them coming, but I don't think we have time to read anymore. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Yeah. People went down to that Cottonwood one. They had a great time. There's the national, there's a difference. And one of the folks here emailed about it that, there's a big difference between the national side of things and the leadership and the locals who are trying to do stuff, the folks at Cottonwood NRA or the folks at Flagstaff NRA. And sometimes these national organizations do things that you're like, why'd you do that? But it's these local people that are just out there fighting for stuff all the time, especially when it comes to the Second Amendment.
That's
and Second Amendment
why
rights.
Why I think that smaller control is better. They know better what you need.
Yeah, yeah, they know because they're there. And you know, to end the show today, you know, we talked with someone who's running for the statewide office of superintendent of public instruction, Sherry Sapir. I might add with Sherry, she's the only candidate I've had on this election cycle for that office. And, you know, I've been reaching out to a lot of candidates, and after a while though, I stopped reaching out. She reaches out to me. She says, hey, I want to come on and talk. That means a lot. I'm going to tell you when going into election for my decisions, and I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm still open to having other candidates on. But you start to wonder when you don't hear from them and you try to get them on. And as we get,
yeah, it's like, what else are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. And those of you who have listened to me long enough and, you know, we're in our sixth year, you know, as we get closer and closer to the election, as I will let you know which ones either flat out said, I refuse to come on, or just we couldn't get a hold of and just would not come on the program, would not respond. And for me, that's a big part of my decision process when we get into these elections. So we'll let you know, because the list is growing.
It says a lot about the people that they are and what they're going to be doing.
If you can't, here's my thing. If you can't get them now, if they get in an office, you'll never get them. Ever.
Definitely. I mean, there's still plenty of those that
Tom O'Halloran and Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly with the cool shirt. Never seen him. All right, folks. Have a great, safe night. Senate candidate Jim Lehman tomorrow. Have a great night. See you soon.